Man, I am always so honored. Pastors David and Pastors Louise have always believed in us. And I don't remember what year it was, but I think it was probably 2004, 2005, I think, when we had come out. And he didn't know me, but he's just like, I feel like you're supposed to preach tonight. So I was like, wow. So, man, needless to say, you have amazing pastors. And give them a hand. They are awesome. And always find pastors that don't not only, you know, go to bat for you and pray for you, but find pastors that believe in you like they do. And, man, you have a recipe for success in what God has for your life. Amen? Amen. God is good? Yeah. I'm going to take this off if that's okay, because I'm a little bit reserved, so... everyone that come on, I'm going to be real quiet today. No, first of all, you guys know I am okay with whatever Holy Spirit wants in this service. And so just believing, and man, what a powerful, powerful, awesome time this morning with Pastor Eddie. Come on, give him a hand. Thank you, Jesus. And for those that don't know us, we are from Arizona. Don't hold it against us. And no, we're so blessed. I have my beautiful wife, Pastor Shannon, over here. Stand up. And Malachi, our son, and Hananiah, our youngest daughter. And Faith, if anyone remembers our redhead, she's actually at home running our kids ministry with her husband and our grandson. So we're actually grandparents. And I still can't believe that. So everyone asked, what are you going to have the baby call you? I says, just call me G-Money. I don't know. Don't call me Grandpa. I'm still too young, right? But, you know, sometimes hey, God is good. And we are so blessed. And we're just so blessed. Our church has been blessed even during this time. Come on, God has some amazing things during this time. And so we're excited about all that God has. And so I'm going to start off with something that happened to me. It's been years now, but you know, for some reason, you know, I'm a little techie person, so I found out that you could actually tell your phone what you want your phone to call you, and I got really excited. And so I'm like, man, I'm going to make my phone even smarter. So I told my phone, I want my phone to call me man of God. So when I would ask, hey, Siri, and I know it's going to probably start popping up, I'll say, what is my name? And the phone would actually say, you are a man of God. I'm like, man, that is so cool. And I got so excited. I showed my wife. I showed my kids. I was showing off, right? I'm like, my phone is really smart and knows even who I am. And but we actually went to dinner one night, and I had everyone at the table. I was excited. These people were actually trying to get them to church. They were some people that we were just, you know, leading to Jesus. And so I got excited. I'm like, man, I'm going to show off how smart my phone is. But I forgot that we had gotten our youngest daughter a cell phone, and we linked it together with mine, okay? And so I didn't know that. So I was sitting at the dinner table. I was all excited. And I said, hey, Siri, what's my name? And I was, man, I was pumped up. Like, I'm excited. And it said, you are Neil, but you asked me to call you Mermaid Princess. And they all were looking at me like, I'm like, that's not what it was supposed to say, I swear. And so needless to say, I don't go by what my phone tells me I am. Come on, how many know I go by what God says I am? And what God says about you is more important than anything else. Come on, in Jesus' name. And so we got to put the word in us and let the word of God speak to our identity and know who we are and what God has for our life. Hallelujah. Come on. And I am more afraid of a wrong thought than I am a devil. Come on, Jesus could cast demons out easier than he could change the mind of a Pharisee. The Israelites stayed out of the promised land, not because the giants, but because they're thinking. Come on. And so I want to be able to transform my life by the way I think. There was three frogs on a log. One decided to jump off. How many were left on the log? The answer is three, because the third one only made a decision to take a jump. He didn't take the action. Faith is taking action, come on, behind your belief system and believing that God is going to catch you and move with you at all times. No matter what your situation looks like, no matter what your trial looks like, no matter what the fire looks like. Come on, how many has ever gone through something? Come on, how many know spiritual warfare is not just what's happening to you, it's what's happening in you. What's taking place on the inside. See, to go where you've never gone and do what you've never done, you got to become who you've never been. And God's more concerned about who you're becoming than what you're doing. And if you'll focus on, come on, God, I want you to work in my life. Hallelujah. See, we've been taught in our culture to judge people by their gifts and not by their fruit. But God wants us to judge ourselves by our fruit. Come on. And I am more concerned. Come on, God, you do something in me. Hallelujah. And if you allow God to do something in you, I guarantee he'll do something through you. Hallelujah. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Because I am more focused on what I'm going to, not what I'm going through. How many remember the beginning of the year, at least where we were at, everyone was talking about 2020 being the year of a vision. Hallelujah. I mean, we were excited. Like, I preached messages. And I was like, you know, it doesn't take a prophetic person to come up with something as powerful as 2020 for vision, right? But I was like, you know, we got to have a vision. You got to have a vision for your life. Without a vision, without a revelation of God, the people perish. We understand all that, right? Have something planned out. And we were all excited. And, I mean, how many know that's what we do in January, right? We got to come up, and we're all excited about the new year. We're prophesying to one another. We're praying for it. And it's so funny. I've never seen anyone on December 31st in my entire life. Maybe you guys have, but I haven't, where somebody came up to me on December 31st and like, my God, I can't believe this year is going to end. I don't want it to end. Why is it that we're always looking about all of the bad things that took place, come on, rather than what God did in our life? Because see, a trial is just a test, is just a proof that I have a testimony in my future. Come on, I love that message on Wednesday night. Come on, we got to testify, right? And so 2020, we all had this picture and this vision of this awesome year. And of course, you know, no one really saw all of the stuff that's been taking place that we're seeing in our society and in our culture. Come on, how many know cultures, it's things that look crazy out there, right? And people are like, you know, everything's getting darker. I'm like, well, if everything's getting darker, what's that say about the church? You can't get darker unless we get dimmer. Come on. So don't be going around saying that everything's getting darker. It's just we're getting brighter. Things are getting revealed more. Hallelujah. And so I had somebody actually say the other day, they says, man, that 2020 vision at the beginning of the year, it looks like everyone missed it. And I says, the truth is we didn't miss it. But because often better vision just means you actually see stuff more clearly. Sometimes you don't see the bugs on your windshield unless you put your glasses on. Come on. And so I don't know about you, but this year has been an awesome opportunity for me to actually see the places that I need to fix, that I need to get right, come on, that I get to say, God, you get to do something in me, that I get to actually see stuff more clearly. Come on, vision that sometimes you don't see things the way you need to see them, and God's just saying, now this is the time to show you things, come on. And it's my prayer to say, God, show me great and mighty things which we do not know. So I'm here to tell you that we are all an amazing journey. Come on. This is a great year. Hallelujah. God is on the move. Praise the Lord. No matter what's coming against us. Hallelujah. And we were excited. We stayed open. We're preaching and we're speaking the word. And we decided that, you know, we're going to have some leadership meetings on Thursday night. And so we got together at our church, about 16 people, that we really felt like the Holy Spirit said, these are the people. And so we've been having these meetings on Thursday night, and it's so crazy because, you know, again, we were pushing through, but all of a sudden, one person got sick, and then another person got sick, then another person got sick. And I'm telling you, within like a week, every one of those 16 people were sick. And so here we were at church with no leaders. And I don't know, you know, of course, we were able to have some people come down and help and serve. But believe it or not, we probably had 60% of our church out, because guess what? Many people actually got the COVID. But praise God, how many know Jesus is the healer? Come on. And so, you know, we're not dictated by what the devil says. We're dictated by what God says and what God is doing in our life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, come on, how many has ever gone through a trial? How many has been letting God work in them during this season? And I'm talking about really working in you. Not what, you know, you want to know if God's really working in your life. What are you thinking about when the person's speaking? Are you sitting there thinking the whole time, my God, I'm so glad my husband's here to hear this? Come on. Come on, how many's ever been thinking about, oh man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this message? How many's ever thought, hey, maybe this word's for me, not just for them? Come on, it's okay. I asked Pastor, how much time do I have? And he says, whatever. So we're going to go right into Sunday night service. Now, I usually go until my wife starts nodding, so everything's good, right? But when you're allowing God to work in you, that's obviously a challenge, and it's like, Holy Spirit, you know, do something amazing. But life comes at us all. And sometimes whenever we go through trials, sometimes we say, God, why me? But sometimes all you got to do is flip the script on that and say, God, why not me? Come on. Because the truth is, I'm excited when I go through some trials. I'm excited when I got some fire to go through. Fire is just proof that there's some cleansing happening. Come on. A storm. It's so funny that we'll pray and we'll sing songs, let it rain, Lord, but then we'll complain that God brought the rain through a storm. How many has ever had some storms in your life? And I was telling God one time through prayer, I'm like, okay, Lord, I love the scripture where Jesus was sleeping on the cushion and the disciples got all fearful and they said, okay, they came to him, they woke him up, come on, and they're like, oh, don't you care that we're going to drown? And Jesus woke up and he's like, yeah, it pretty much has kicked up a little bit, hasn't it? And Jesus rebuked the wind and calmed the waves. And so how many has ever wanted that kind of faith to rebuke the wind and calm the waves? I mean, the storms of life come, right? It doesn't matter. Look, the storms of life are not prejudice. They come to us all. And so I was praying one time. I'm like, God, I want the kind of faith to rebuke the wind and calm the waves. I go through some storms. It's like, God, I just want this stuff to stop. How many has ever had that stuff happen? And I'm telling you, through prayer one time, the Holy Spirit says, I would love to give you the kind of faith to rebuke the wind and calm the waves, but I'd much rather you have faith that sleeps with me on the cushion. Come on. How many want that kind of faith? Hallelujah. Were the storms not making you fearful? That's the kind of faith I want, because life happens to us all. Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. I know, that's right. Or what about Buster Douglas when he fought against Mike Tyson? He was one of the first ones ever to get knocked down by Mike Tyson and actually still win. And it actually, the bell saved him. He was out. And it wasn't until the next round that Buster Douglas came out fighting even more. And everyone says, man, he's done. But guess what? Buster Douglas won that fight. And guess what? The reason why he won, they asked him at the end, they said, why did you win? How did you come out fighting even harder after you were knocked down? You're the first one to ever be knocked down like that. He said, it's because my why was bigger than the punch that I received. He says, because my mother died a few days before and she told everyone that I was going to win that fight with Mike Tyson. And if you can get your why right, come on, are you with me? How many know you're going to win and succeed in life? Because sometimes, again, it's how many know you have power over the enemy? The devil is defeated. Come on, you're not running from the devil. He's running from you in Jesus' name. It's how you think about what you're going through. Hallelujah. And when the enemy comes and he attacks, you just step up, say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm a winner. I'm a fighter. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. How many got some fight on the inside of you? Hallelujah. Well, you're going to say, I'm going to win this thing in Jesus' name. Woo, that's good news. Come on. I always think of this, the analogy, and I'm going to, do a simple message on faith, but the analogy of the shield of faith. In the Old Testament, they actually had these shields. They would make them out of plywood, and then they would put animal skin over the plywood after they would kind of warp the plywood some. And so they'd have this real thick animal skin, and that's what they would use for the shields. But what would take place is the enemy would actually begin to light the fiery darts or the arrows with the tip of fire and shoot it off. And what would happen is those shields would begin to get brittle, and they would actually begin the skin on it would get really dry. So Isaiah said, anoint your shield with oil. So they understood that they had to take olive oil, come on, and pour it all over the shield and soak it up so that when the flame hit the shield, it would extinguish. That's the picture of, guess what? You got the shield of faith to extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Come on, how many got their faith up during these times? Come on, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. I mean, we are in an amazing season right now where God is going to get all the glory in Jesus' name. Are you with me? Come on. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. How many love the Word of God? How many really love the Word of God? Come on, how many is married to the Word of God? Hallelujah. Matthew. Good old Matthew. Chapter 9. And, you know, the Word, I love the Word when it speaks to me. And when Pastor David asked if, you know, asked me to preach, I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you have? And so I just feel like it's something simple, but how many know sometimes simple is profound? And I hope that this speaks to you today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, if you're there, shout amen. Amen. Come on. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Come on, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. I love reading about miracles that took place in the Scripture. But even more so, I love seeing people that had greater vision when they were blind than others had when they were not. Because it says that two blind men followed him. Now, I just love to, when I read, I actually want to try to put myself in that place and actually see what's really happening. So can you imagine two blind men for a moment following Jesus? Come on, how many know they were in darkness with their eyes? That they could not go by the sense of sight because they were blind. So two blind men following Jesus had to use another sense. And most blind people that have a blindness, they go by what they can hear. Come on, faith comes by. And hearing by the... So the Word of God is what builds our hearing, come on, and it's by our hearing that builds our faith. And so two blind men following Jesus had to go not by what they can see, but by what they can hear. How many's ever gone and done stuff based upon what you saw rather than what you're hearing what God is saying? How many's ever had God give you a prophetic word, and then you looked around and it's like, man, that word was great, but I see the opposite everywhere I look. Come on, let me know the devil does attack, right? And you're looking around, you're like, my God, I don't know about all of that stuff, and I'm excited about the word that God gave me. But guess what? You're not supposed to live by sight. You're living by faith. We live by faith and not by sight. But guess what? God often does his greatest work in dark places. And I know we don't like to see that. We don't like to hear that. But guess what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. How many know it was in darkness? The Spirit of God's waiting for the word to be spoken so he could act on the word. Come on, how many know it was Adam had to be put into a deep sleep before he can create Eve out from his rib? How many know it was Abraham in Genesis 15 that darkness covered over him when he was sleeping? Come on, and God did an amazing miracle. How many know Moses was up on the mountain and it says darkness covered? Come on, are you with me? God does his greatest work in dark places. It was Jesus hanging suspended between heaven and earth. Come on, and it says darkness covered over the whole atmosphere. Why? Because God does his work in, come on, his greatest work in dark places. So sometimes, just because it looks dark tells me that God's got some light on my side in Jesus' name. Are you with me? Come on, come on. How many know you can plant a seed, and it's amazing that we get to enjoy the benefit of the tree and the fruit, but you got to understand that the power and the nutrients are coming from the roots that are embedded in the dirt and darkness. Come on. And that's where the power's coming. Oh, yeah. Come on, I'm feeling it now. Hallelujah. It's what's happening, come on, sometimes, and it seems like, oh, what am I going through? But I'm here to tell you that what you're going through is just proof that God is going to make something work out for you. Never put a period where God wants to put a comma in your life. Whew. Come on, God's not through with your story. God's not done with you yet. God's not finished with you yet. Come on, I woke up, my name wasn't in the obituary today. God is not done with me yet. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Come on. And we could testify about that at all times. Because God's speaking to us, right? I mean, God loves to speak to us. And we love to live by faith. Somebody told me one time, they said, how do you know when you really have heard from God? I thought about it and I said, well, that's pretty easy. It's when you're 51% sure. Come on, that's supposed to be funny. But, you know, it's amazing to me that when God works in our life, he never wants to take faith out of it. Faith is always in the equation. But the more and more you see God work, the more and more you have a trust that he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Come on, I am confident that God promised, come on, and God is going to do what he said he's going to do. I am trusting that what God has said, come on, I'm not going by what I see, I'm going by what I hear. And those blind men were going by what they can hear. Come on, even so much that it says that they came into the house and Jesus was there. Come on, that is some dedication. That is some, I'm not going to leave until I get my promise. That is a fight of faith that says, you know what? I know that Jesus, the healer, is right here, and I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to feel around if I have to, but I'm going to get to him. I can't see. I'm a little bit, handicapped. I'm going to sit back, but no, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to do whatever I can to get to him, because I'm not leaving here until I see. And my faith is seeing greater, come on, than my eyesight. Ooh. Come on, two blind men following Jesus. I would have loved to have seen that day. And look, it doesn't say anyone else around there was getting healed. So that tells me again that their vision was greater than everyone else that was around Jesus that day, because they're the ones that went away seeing with a miracle. Why? Because according to their faith, it was done for them. Jesus. Come on, how many got some faith in here? How many's got some faith in here? How many's got some faith? I mean, you came to church, you're like, I came to church to get something. But God doesn't want you just to come to church just to get something all the time. He wants you to come to church to give something too. And I'm going to go to church, I'm going to get something, and I'm going to give something. I'm going to go to church, I'm going to be blessed. I'm not going to just go to church, I'm going to be the church. I'm going to not go to church just with a prayer request. I'm going to go to church with a testimony. Come on, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be on fire for God. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost take a hold of me. Come on, I'm going to be transformed because I have more victory. Come on, others may not even be able to see it, but I'm telling you, I am winning this race in Jesus' name. Oh, come on, just don't quit. Don't quit. They say that a gazelle can run 60 miles an hour, but a cheetah can run up to 80. True story. And it's so funny to me because, the cheetah actually still has to get very close because the cheetah loves to attack a gazelle, but it has to get very close because if a gazelle can outrun a cheetah for 20 seconds, that cheetah will give up. Come on. And I thought, my gosh, he can't even run as fast. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, if you just won't give up, come on. If you just run your heart out, come on, just don't give up. Don't quit. Come on. Sometimes the difference between you and your miracle is not quitting. These two blind men could have stopped and said, Jesus went inside. Maybe I'll have to come back another day. But no, they said, we're going to get there. Come on, that's faith. I said, that's faith. What about the paralytic that had the four friends that carried him? How many need some friends like that in your life that are willing to carry you to Jesus? Come on. And what I love about that story is that, we sometimes talk about closed doors and God opens doors. I love open doors. How many love open doors in your life? And so these four friends decided to carry their friend, a paralytic. They were trying to get to Jesus. And when they got there, it says the place was so full and the door was closed and they couldn't get in. And that's sometimes where we quit. That's sometimes where we say, well, I'll just have to come back another day, or maybe I'll sit out here and just wait till he leaves. But guess what? They didn't let their faith end there. Sometimes we say, I'm going to let that closed door speak to me. No, sometimes God's waiting for you to jump on the roof and make your own door. Sometimes, come on, I'm talking about faith. When God's given you a promise, hallelujah, I'm talking about living by faith and not by sight. And these four guys, they got up on the roof, hallelujah, and they cut a hole in the, come on, how many know it must have not been code or whatever it may have been, but they got a hole, and it says they dropped, they lowered him down. Come on, sometimes you got to learn how to lower yourself to Jesus, and he'll be the one that lifts you up. And they lowered him to Jesus. Come on. Oh, yeah, I know. Come on. How many? Come on, Pastor Eddie was talking about. How many has ever gone to the Lord and says, Lord, I'm not like my husband. Come on, are you with me? Well, I'm not like these other people. Come on, how many know God's looking for humility, right? Jesus. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that, in fact, if you were God, would you have chosen you? Aren't you glad God chose you? Come on, how many has ever wondered why God, what was God thinking? Or am I the only one? Come on, how many, hallelujah, come on. Come on, how many has ever felt like you're in a dark place and you just couldn't get out? And you were just like, God, I don't know what you're doing. And again, you got to change why me to why not me. And you got to recognize that God has got something amazing for you. And what you're dealing with right now, come on, is it really that big? Sometimes I think we get so caught up in little things. Come on, how many know when you look at the big picture, do you understand that I'm not just winning for myself, I'm winning for my wife, I'm winning for my kids, I'm winning for my grandkids. Come on. It's one thing to leave an inheritance for your kids, but how many know it's a lot more important what you leave in them than what you leave to them? Come on, I'm winning victories right now for them also in Jesus' name. Come on, are you with me? Hallelujah. And I'm glad the devil tried to attack. I'm like, oh, you have no idea who you messing with. You have no idea. Come on, Jesus is living on the inside of me. You messed up because you're trying to attack me after Jesus is living in me. You should have took me out when you had the chance, but you didn't. Come on. And the reason you didn't is because God had a plan and a purpose for my life. Hallelujah. Because success, being prosperous and successful, is not about what I'm attaining. It's about who I'm becoming. Come on, Jesus, hallelujah. I want to become who God's called me to become, hallelujah, rather than just do what God's called me to do. Because again, if you are who you are, you will produce what you're supposed to produce, hallelujah. So God is working it out in Jesus' name. Come on, I was telling the pastor the other day, I'm like, we live in a society where we love to judge people by their gifts. We have American Idol. We have the X Factor. Some of those are not on anymore. But Dancing with the Stars. All we're doing is judging people. Oh, I wonder if that's good or that's good. And so, you know, how many know we've done that in culture too? Come on. And sometimes, look, cultural things are okay. I mean, how many know the culture is different here than it is in Arizona? The culture is different in Africa than it is here, right? And you know, the problem is that we've tended to begin to worship culture rather than worshiping God. Come on, how many's ever went to Chick-fil-A and got upset because they didn't have a burger for you? That's culture. How many's ever went to McDonald's? Look, McDonald's does not sell their best hamburgers, right? But you know what kind of burger you're going to get if you go to McDonald's. And I had McDonald's in Paris, and I'm telling you, it was the same that if I would have ordered here in America. That is what culture's about. Come on, how many know culture? It's so funny how even culture, even across the few state borders, could be different than it is here in Arkansas. There ain't nothing wrong with that, right? But what I do love is that even though cultural things may be different, the hunger for God's the same. And the way the Holy Spirit moves is the same. The way God moves is the same. Come on. The way God touches people is the same. I love to see God touch people. I love when the Holy Spirit has words and speaks to people and people's lives are transformed and changed. Come on. How many has ever had that happen to you? Hallelujah. Where God is speaking to you and you're like, man, my life is never going to be the same. Jesus. And you leave, and you're like, my gosh, God is so good. And I've had encounters with God. Revival brings encounters with God. But intimacy in a marriage does not guarantee the marriage is strong. Because there's one thing that I have done, and I love going to the altar, and I believe in the altar, and we got to have prayer, and we got to, come on, how many has ever gone to the altar for the same thing for like 4,000 different times? How many has ever done that? I'm good. Come on, and that's okay. I'm not saying don't come to the altar, right? But guess what? How many know you can get prayed over by everyone, and that's still not going to renew your mind? I know we wish it. Come on, how many have ever gone to the altar like, oh, just please renew my mind? But how many know renewing of the mind is something that you do? You know, I can go down the street and get my car washed. And we need it washed all the way from Arizona. We have all these bugs. Psh. How many know you can have somebody, you can go to a restaurant and have them cook your food. But you cannot, I wish you could, but I can't go to the gym and have someone work out for me. Right? Come on. And I've meditated on that for years. I'm like, God, you know, if there's one thing I could have loved for someone that have done for me, I'd love to pay someone to run like 4 miles a day for me. Come on. Are you with me? But that's my responsibility. And so often we try to, look, you can't sow seed on Sunday and Wednesday and expect a 7-day harvest. You've got to learn how to put the Word of God in you, plant it, and get your life transformed. Because, look, prayer helps water the seed that you're planting. But come on, how many know that you could only get a harvest from the seeds that you've planted and what God is doing in your life? And we often come to God, we're like, okay, God, fix me. How many has ever done that? And look, God's like, I'm going to show you my strength. I'm going to show you my power. But how many have ever gone away from revival and had, like, you were, like, perfect after that? Come on. How many has got some issues still in your life? And everyone's looking at their husband and wife right now. Come on. Turn to your husband and wife. Be like, oh, Jesus, help them. No, I'm teasing, guys. I'm teasing. Can't believe you guys just did that. Hallelujah. But how many's got some things? How many has attained perfection? Come on. You know it. You're like, I'm close. I'm close, right? But look, you know, there's never been a season in my life I'm like, dude, I made it. How many have ever felt that way? No, because God's always doing something in us, right? We always got to allow him to keep working in us. We have to change. And it's going to come from what you're doing and the way you're renewing your mind and the way you're going through your battles and the way you're going through your fires and the way you're going through your trials and the temptations that we face. Come on. And saying, God, you need to speak to me. How many has ever been like, oh, I'm going through a season. I don't feel like God's there. And I had somebody tell me one time, they says, you know, I just don't feel like God's hearing my prayers. I says, well, next time you're praying, cuss. And they're like, oh my God, I would never do that. I'm like, why? They says, because God wouldn't like that. I says, so you're more aware that God would hear your cussing than he hears your prayers? I didn't mean for him to cuss. People are like, what? No. But how many has ever felt that way? Like, oh my gosh, God's not hearing me. Come on. Are you with me? And it's so funny that some people are like, I just can't hear the voice of God. But you have no problem hearing the voice of the enemy. Come on. How many know God speaks to your mind? Come on, you got to renew your mind. Hallelujah. I love to renew my mind. I want to treat a wrong thought like I would finding a rattlesnake in my bed. Come on, I remember back in July 4th, like 3 years ago, my wife went outside in the garage. She was going to go get like a Capri Sun or something for our daughter. Was it our daughter? And she was out there, and then she came in into the house, and she's like, and I'm like, what's up? And she's like, there's a rattlesnake out there by the refrigerator. And I'm like, no way. So, you know, I went out there, and sure enough, there was a big rattlesnake out by our refrigerator. And so I did what any man would do, right? I called 911. I'm like, I am not going to deal with, what is it? I had Shannon call 911. I'm like, oh man, I am not messing with that. And look, I'm like, I moved to Arizona when I was 7, so I have dealt with enough rattlesnakes. And I'm like, okay, call 911. So here's what happened: the 911 came, fire truck came. People are, how many know people, like neighbors, are all looking out the window, like, what's happening? And I'm like, my wife, she's I'm teasing, but the firefighters are like, oh, don't worry, it's probably not a rattlesnake. I'm like, dude, I know it is a rattlesnake. That's just the way we talk over there. I'm like, seriously, there's a rattlesnake in our garage? And they're like, nah, we get these calls all the time, it's probably not a rattlesnake. So they go outside, they're like, ooh, that is a rattlesnake. And I'm like, I told you so, right? But how many know sometimes when snakes pop up in our life, we like to get a hold of the pastor? Can you help me, pastor? Come on. And look, there's nothing wrong with that unless it's been 20 years. And are you with me? I mean, God wants to keep growing you up. He wants to keep growing you up. He wants to keep growing you up. And often we think that God cannot use us. How many has ever thought God couldn't use me? The true revival that's going to happen now is going to be where God is going to use everyone. Come on. It's up to us to empty ourselves and let the Holy Spirit work in us and use us. But we've got to have our faith, and we got to live by faith, come on, and not by sight. What you're going through, if you see it from a different perspective, come on, how many know it will change your life? Hallelujah. When the Bible says that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble, that tells me that God's in trouble. Why? Because if you're in trouble, he's going to get right there in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it says that there was a fourth man in the fire. I'm here to tell you that the fourth man was always with them. The fire revealed him. And sometimes the fires that you're going through, come on, reveal the Jesus that has always been with you already, because the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you at all times. But the fire often reveals the Christ that's there, that's already available for your help. But often we don't ask for his help when things are going good. Come on, are you with me? And so what we're going through, we just got to cry out and say, God, help me. Sometimes you it's okay. Sometimes you have to call on 911 when a rattlesnake's in your garage. But how many know we should recognize the power that's already within us? Come on. Two blind men following Jesus, following him around. Come on, what would that look like today? Two blind people following Jesus, making sure to get to him, to get the miracle that they were wanting, to get the miracle that they need. They need it. Jesus says, what is it you want me to do? Come on, how many know they're like, we want to see. He said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. I love it too, whenever somebody, when the disciples, again, were in the boat, and it says that Jesus was walking on water, and it says that they all got scared. One of the first things he said was, peace. Take peace. Take peace. Because he was trying to say, take it. He wasn't saying, he said, take peace, take courage. He wasn't just trying to say, guess what? Try to find the courage that's within you. No, he's saying, take my courage, take my peace, take what I have given you, take what I have poured into you. Come on. And if you'll use what he's given you, come on, how many know? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Come on, we got it on the inside of us. We've got the Holy Spirit working in us. Hallelujah. And what God is doing, I want to always see from God's perspective. If you'll see it from God's perspective, which is above, come on, how many know you see it from a whole different angle and a whole different view? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, imagine if they would have recognized what was happening in that moment. How many know their worship would have been different? They were fearful and running away, but if they understood really what God was doing in that moment, sometimes it's through worship and praise. Come on, how many know worship and praise changes your battleground into God's holy grounds? And if you worship and praise God, come on, through what you're going through, hallelujah, you may not, I don't understand understand it, Lord. I don't have to understand it to know that God is at work. I know that God is doing something amazing. And when he was hanging on the cross, they were like, oh my gosh, we're losing. But they didn't realize that they were actually winning. And sometimes the difference is how you're seeing your situation and what you're going through. And you need to position yourself in God and say, whatever I have to go through, God, I know that whatever's happening, you're going to turn it around and make it good. Ooh, come on, Jesus. Come on, God's going to make it good. Hallelujah. Guys, come on. If God's not done with it, come on, how many know? If it's not good, it's not done. Jesus, are you with me? I don't know if I've shared this before. I heard this years ago, but, you know, my one of my pastor mentors said that he had a vision. He was in prayer, and he was saw this big, huge barbecue, and this big barbecue in the back, and the smoke's going up. And he said there, Jesus was the chef. He was like there cooking. And so he walked over to Jesus, but he realized that nothing was on the grill. But there was smoke everywhere. And he's like, Lord, where's the meat? And Jesus spoke to him and says, haven't you ever heard the scripture? Well done, good and faithful servant. Jump on the grill. Well done, good and faithful servant. How many's ever felt like you're being grilled? That you were going through something? That you were going through a fight? It's okay to be going through it. Just don't camp out there. Israelites decided to camp out. It's because their mentality was that they were waiting for God to do it for them rather than take on the battle themselves. Come on, how many know they stayed in the desert for 40 years? Whew. Turn to your neighbor and say, life and life more abundantly. The promised land is actually what God wants to bring us to. And the promised land is life and life more abundantly. And I know we love to always just think of the promised land as heaven. But if the promised land was a shadow of what heaven is, there would have never been enemies there in the first place. The promised land is a place that you can get in this life right here doing what God's called you to do. It's where you fight, come on, the battle, and you get the victory because God has called us to live in his promises. And if it was not that way, he would have never said to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are supposed to be experiencing heaven right here based upon what God has provided for us through his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why we can believe for healing. That's why we can believe for miracles. That's why we can believe for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. And if you'll let God do it, God will do it. Live by faith, not by sight. Live by faith, not by sight. I live by faith, not by sight. Come on, that's good stuff. Good stuff. How you view what you're going through. How many's going through something right now? Anyone? A couple people, right? Hallelujah. Come on, just thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God is doing it. Nancy, I feel like God has a word for you. If you can stand up, please. And thank you, Jesus. Are you ready? In fact, I'm going to have you come up, and Pastor Shannon, and if I can have you guys surround her too, Pastor Louise, and thank you, Jesus. Is this okay? Just hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Yes. Amen. Amen. Just close your eyes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. First of all, I feel like God just wants you to say he's proud of you for trusting him. That you believe 100% that God can do anything. But I just feel like the Holy Spirit is wanting to tell you that he's also wanting you to do some things too. that you've got a lot of things that you feel like God's calling you to, that God's calling you to do. And I almost feel like there's times in the past that you're like, oh, Lord, I can't. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe it isn't what I feel like you're calling me to do. And I feel like God is just saying, I have called you to be someone that there's times where you feel like you're not even in that place. God's saying it is never by your feelings. It's always by faith. And I feel like the Holy Spirit's just saying, use what I've put on the inside of you, that you are going to be a magnet, that God is calling you to be a witness. I feel like, God, I almost just keep hearing that you, there's times you're just like, oh God, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I'm not able. And you know, I know God's able. I know God can do it. But I feel like God's just saying, I'm going to use you mightily and powerfully, that I'm going to do it. And I'm going to just keep trusting me. And that God's saying, I'm going to open doors for you in the mighty name of Jesus. But you've got to trust, and you've got to walk in the direction of that I'm calling you to. Hallelujah. And I just feel like there's a weight being lifted off of you right now. There's just there's just a new, fresh joy. Hallelujah. That I just rebuke the enemy and the attack that's coming against you. I speak life over you, your body and your health. I speak new energy in the name of Jesus. That freedom, hallelujah. I just see that your times are like, oh man, I don't even feel. But I feel like God's saying, I am changing that around. I'm transforming that right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And I just feel like God's saying, in fact, I feel like God's saying, even in this time, I'm going to impregnate you with something so big and such a huge dream. And I'm going to do it because I need you to birth something for your life and for your kids. That God's saying that you're praying for your kids. I see you praying for your kids. God's saying, number one, trust me. I'm going to make their way prosperous and successful. I've got them. I'm protecting them in Jesus' name, and that you don't have to worry about it at all. Hallelujah. And God's saying, just keep journeying with me. Keep journeying with me. And God's saying, also trust that I'm going to supply all of your needs at all times in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. God is good. Yes. Amen. Justin, you guys are amazing. I feel like God. And look, here's what I love. When God puts words in you, and you know, especially if you step out, everything you always do will always be by faith. And you know, if you're not willing to step out and you be used by God to give someone a word and be wrong, then you'll never be willing to step out and give a word that's right. Come on, I can't tell you how many words that I've given that I'm like, oh, okay, I completely missed that one, right? But how many know that the gifts of the Spirit move through faith? Come on. But with you guys, I really feel like God's getting ready to move you into a new financial season in Jesus' name. And I feel like there's a business idea. And I don't know if there's something happening, but I feel like, especially with your wife, like she's got this creativity, that's something that God has spoke to her, and I feel like there's a new business venture that God's getting ready to do. So everyone stretch your hands towards them in Jesus' name. And God, I just pray in the mighty name of Jesus for prosperity and blessing and favor over your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust. God's saying that there is a Godtrepreneur inside of you guys. And I feel like God is getting ready to revolutionize your ideas and your thoughts in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Living by faith, not by sight, right? Hallelujah. Living by faith, not by sight. Living by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. It's only 10:14 in Arizona. I could keep going. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, how many want more? How many want more of God? Come on, you ask God for the rain. It's okay if it comes through a storm. Hallelujah. I remember complaining to God. I'm like, why does this all keep happening to me? He says, because you kept praying for it. Come on. Sometimes, I know sometimes we only want the real sweet rain that's just, but how many has ever had a downpour? You got to go by what you hear. How many know Elijah? He called down fire from heaven. I would have loved to have been here that day. Been there that day. And but it says that afterwards he said, I see the abundance of rain. No, that's not what he said, right? He says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And then it says that he went and prayed, put his head between his legs and prayed. Okay, he prayed about what he was hearing. Then he sent his servant to see if anything was happening. The servant came back and says, I don't see anything yet. So he kept praying. You got to pray through what you hear before you'll ever see what you hear. And eventually he said, the servant came back and says, man, I see the cloud the size of a man's hand. And oh, come on, how many know the abundance of rain? There was a famine. Famine means not enough, right? But God says, I've got breakthrough coming for your life. And what is a breakthrough? It's about breaking through something, come on, and getting to what God has called us to. Breakthrough. That's what those four friends and the paralytic did. They broke through the roof, come on, to get to Jesus. Sometimes it's up to you to get your breakthrough. Hallelujah. Got to do it in Jesus' name. Live by faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, live by faith. Live by faith. Is there anyone in here that's fighting something in their body right now too? Anyone that's fighting anything, not feeling well? Stand up if that's you. Hallelujah. And we're going to just believe right now that God's going to heal your bodies. Come on, Jesus. How many know Jesus is the healer? Come on. Come on. Come on. God loves to heal. Right? How many know that's what he loves to heal? Hallelujah. So, God, are you guys ready for God to just touch your bodies? Thank you, Jesus. So, just lift up your hands right where you're at. I'm just believing right now in the mighty name of Jesus that the presence of God fills you, that by his stripes you were healed. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent forth his word and healed you in Jesus' name. And your step of faith by just standing up, God saying that is an act of faith that you have taken that one step. I'm going to take the next steps. And I just pray right now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in Jesus' mighty name that if you're experiencing pain, that pain leaves your body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, church. Just stretch your hands towards him. That pain leaves your body in Jesus' name. And that I sense, hallelujah, I just sense that some of you may be experiencing lack of rest. I get that sometimes often, and I feel like God's saying, I'm going to give you some good sleep tonight. You're going to actually rest, not just sleep. You're going to experience rest, and that you're going to be rejuvenated in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, God. Give him a praise. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Come on. How many feel the presence of God? Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. You just feeling that feeling your body feeling good in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good. Is God good? Is God good? Hallelujah. Come on. How many know God can do it? Somebody says, well, sometimes it'll take a long time. I'm like, no. Jesus did a really big thing in 30 minutes in the book of Revelations. How many know it's not about quantity of time, it's quality of time. Whew. Come on, who's letting God work in him right now? Come on. How many need a fresh touch? Three of you. Come on, just lift up your hand right where you're at. Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that the presence of the Holy Spirit is in this place. And God, I know sometimes just the simplicity of your word to just believe you at all times. The enemy tries to come in, tries to set up traps, tries to take our mind. And we just rebuke that right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we believe you. We believe that you're doing a mighty work in us, in this church, in this city of Elkins, in this state of Arkansas, in this great country, in Jesus' name. And God, we pray right now for revival in such a way that's going to change the very fabric and being of our cities, in Jesus' name. God, I pray over Pastors David and Pastor Louise. I pray, God, for vitality and strength. I pray, God, for just a hallelujah. I almost sense that God's saying, I'm going to anoint you like Elijah, and you're going to run ahead and be way in front of what God's doing prophetically. That God's saying, I'm going to give you insight and passion to see what the next steps are for this church. And for what God wants to do, I feel like God's saying, I'm going to give you new energy and new strength in your bodies. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I see just a new, just new. I just keep hearing the word new. And so there is new things happening, new season. There's new seasons. Come on, there's a new season in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. 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 Look, I love you guys. God is good all the time. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Pastor, again. Hallelujah. Come on. How many need joy? How many need joy? Come on. How do you get joy again? Believe you've received it, right? Believe you've received it. Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Joy, 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 joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.